And as we went to Madison, my thought was that we're just going to import the Indian virus and start working on that. And USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, very promptly refused import license. You know, as I applied, I think within 8 days I got it back. Nope, you can't import it. I won't blame them for that. You know, I understand. But so, in other words, I can't import the Indian virus. That's what I was thinking. I'll import that here and then start studying it. Okay, backup plan. You know, plan B, and plan B was to buy a human, buy a adenovirus that's available in this country, and might as well buy a human adenovirus. Human virus meaning the one that infects humans, instead of studying the one that infects chickens.
Okay, so I did want to talk about the difference between the two. So yes, go continue on with what you're saying.
The one that I was studying in India was predominantly a microbe, a virus that would infect chickens. It's called avian, meaning chickens or birds. And viruses are categorized in that way, depending on which host they infect. So preferred host of that virus would be chickens. That doesn't mean that they do not infect humans. I mean, that's what we found out, that indeed they should be infecting humans because humans had antibodies to that virus. The one that I wanted to study here, if I'm starting from scratch, blank slate, might as well study a human adenovirus. Why start with an avian? Because that would have more significance to human illness. So I opened a catalog of a company called ATCC, American Type Culture Collection. That's a company that sells cells for research or viruses. So for our lab, you
Yeah,
know, so you I
that's
opened a
interesting.
catalog. Hey, that's a very common source for research reagents. And I said, okay, I'm going to buy the human adenovirus. Turns out there is no the human adenovirus. There were 50 plus different human adenoviruses, and they were literally numbered adenovirus 2, 5, 10 through 50 and more. So, which one should I try now? And should I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Should I go 50, 49, 48,
Just a
47?
shot in the dark,
Yeah,
really.
how do you, which one? And so we looked at, and I would love to say that we had such an insight in selecting that and that we got the right one. But there was some insight, but more of intuition in selecting number 36. So adenoviruses are designated as A, D, the letter A, letter D, and number 36. So we call it A, D 36 or AD 36. So that was the one that we decided to use. And first we tried a chicken experiment. And turns out that in chickens, within 3 weeks, as we expected, AD 36 made them fat, reduced cholesterol, and reduced triglyceride.
It's just so
Yeah. What a coincidence, eh? And there were three groups at that time. One was control, one was AD36 infected, and the third was a different virus that we didn't think would be causing obesity. Because we wanted to see as a negative control. We wanted to make sure that the effects that we are seeing are not simply due to infection per se, but specific due to a virus like AD36. And then, so that's when it started. And initial years were very rough in terms of getting manuscripts published, or I have gone to conferences, presented data, just nobody would believe it. You know, and what can I do but show our data? 2 + 2 = 5 in our hands, and here are the data. But and I would get see, sometimes you give feedback in some conferences, they give you feedback like your comments and stuff of audience. And I would get feedback like, this is outstanding, Nobel Prize winning work, etc. From that end to preposterous and everything in between. So this was a long struggle to have people think that obesity can be caused by infection.
Mm-hmm.
Today, then we went on to look at human relevance.
Yes.
We wanted to see, okay, yeah, it causes obesity in chickens. Mm-hmm. We did many other experiments, chickens, mice,
monkeys.
Rats, monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so we got these models down. We got the mechanism mm-hmm. ironed out. What about humans?
Right.
And but we can infect humans because of ethical reasons, mm-hmm. clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to go by indirect evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, antibodies. So those who have antibodies to AD36, do they have more obesity and so on and so forth?
Mm-hmm.
And we found, yes, the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
But now, fast forward.
Mm-hmm.
Every continent in the world, except Africa, researchers have been working on AD36 and have reported findings that support what we found initially and more.
Mm-hmm.
So so it's much more accepted and many people are doing that research, and I feel much better vindicated in a way to see that. I feel.
Well, it's been kind of your life's work, wouldn't you say? I mean,
yeah.
Going from a, you know, highly successful physician and then just dumping everything into this virus and traveling back and forth and
a big leap of faith. But it turned out to be all right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then one last section is we added a new dimension to this research that I just described.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, while studying the obesity aspect of this virus, an obvious long-term goal of our that research
mm-hmm.
is to find a vaccine to prevent AD36 induced obesity.
Mm-hmm.
Not all obesity.
Just
that
AD36.
Type of obesity, obviously. That
mm-hmm.
vaccine would work against that virus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a long-term goal of that line of inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
But while we were doing that, I observed another thing that added a completely different dimension. And that is that the virus not only increases obesity, but it improves in animals, improves their glucose levels.
Mm-hmm.
So that got me thinking. I said, well, can we make this, and can we try this virus on diabetic animals
mm-hmm.
and see if their diabetes improves?
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Oh.
So, okay, well, now we can't go around infecting people with the virus.
Mm-hmm.
So can we identify one gene of that virus that is responsible for that anti-diabetic effect?
Mm-hmm.
If we find that, then we don't have to infect anybody. We are talking about a protein that that gene makes.
Mm-hmm.
We were successful in identifying that gene as well.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a protein called E4, the letter E.
Mm-hmm.
E4, the number 4. ORF1. So E4ORF1
mm-hmm.
is a protein of this virus that we are using to improve diabetes in various animal models. And we have not only filed, but we have obtained numerous patents in the United States, Europe, other countries, many Australia, New Zealand, etc.,
mm-hmm.
to commercialize this into a anti-diabetic drug.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been funded by a private company
mm-hmm.
To promote that research as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we are currently working on. And that drug, hopefully, will go in human trials soon, and if that happens, we would have a drug that one drug will apply to type 1 diabetes as well as type 2 diabetes, and another indication is to take care of fat in the liver.
Mm-hmm.
So those three indications can be handled by one drug.
Mm-hmm.
That's a drug that we are working on.
Mm-hmm.
Developing. It's not there yet.
Right.
Yeah. But so that completes sort of what description I would say. What I like about the whole thing and I feel fortunate about is
mm-hmm.
we got to do, and hopefully the drug will be out and hoping that,
mm-hmm.
we got to do start to finish everything in our lab.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, one would start at one of those, you know, in a window, and you take it from there forward or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Okay.
Or you do something and hand it over to someone else. But right from the first discovery to cell work, to animal work, to human work, and addition of this anti-diabetic
mm-hmm.
drug, if we can develop all that in our lab, I consider that a very fortunate way of contributing to science.
It's outstanding. It is outstanding. AD 36, do we know where it comes from, how humans contract it?
So that goes under virology, which I have.
Okay.
Yeah, but we don't have a whole lot of information in humans, mm-hmm. how this virus is propagated and mm-hmm. so on. But I can tell you based on animal work uh-huh. that the seems to be a virus that causes diarrhea.
Okay.
And in if that is true in humans, that means if you get stomach upset and mm-hmm. due to some infection, and if you have poor hygiene habits, and you know you use a bathroom and shake hands so with somebody mm-hmm. without washing hands clean or what have you, that's one way to propagate it. So that's my thinking. Mm-hmm. Adenoviruses as a group, you mm-hmm. know, remember those 50 I mentioned?
Right.
They can be broadly classified into three types of viruses. There are some type of those that cause respiratory tract infections like cold, cough, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Some cause pink eye, conjunctivitis, mm-hmm. and some cause diarrhea.
Okay.
So I believe this one falls in that category of viruses that cause diarrhea among adenoviruses.
I was reading an article about you in Mother Jones magazine, and in that article it mentioned a gentleman, I believe his name was Randy, and he was a farmer, and he was out cleaning the chicken cages one night, or one morning, taking them all out of the little cages and putting them into a space to roam free. Well, a rooster got after him, scratched him up pretty good. 3 weeks later, he had this enormous appetite for food and has been big all of his life. And they're attributing his weight gain, the doctor that worked with him is attributing his weight gain to, you know, avian AD 36. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I know Randy. I was.
You
one
do
of,
good.
I was one of them who treated him actually when I was in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
There are three things to mention. Randy was big, and then we treated him. He used to come to a clinic. Dr. Dick Atkinson and I. We had that obesity treatment program in Madison. And we treated him, and hats off to him that he has done absolutely wonderfully well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's somewhere around 165, something like that, his weight. He's lost way more than 100 plus 150 pounds or something like that. He's done remarkably well in terms of losing weight and keeping it off. He's done both. And those are two separate things. Some people can lose weight but not keep it off. But he was fortunate and has put in enough effort to keep it off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a separate story. Now, coming back to what you said, is it possible that it was his encounter with chickens that gave him a virus that caused obesity?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible? Yes. Was that something that happened in Randy's case? We don't know.
Okay.
I can't tell you, because all we can say is Randy had, and by his admission, because otherwise I wouldn't divulge his personal history.
Sure.
I mean, he has said that a number of times openly, publicly, that he was positive for antibodies to adenovirus 36.
Okay.
That only tells us that he was sometime in life exposed to adenovirus 36.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was the chicken that scratched him that gave him the virus, or his neighbor sneezed on him that gave him that virus, I can't tell that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, in theory, that is possible. In reality, whether exact that thing led to his weight gain, he does describe that his weight gain was after that incident, and so it's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you press me to, are you sure about it? No, I'm not. I can't. I don't have any evidence one way or the other.
Can you get hard evidence from a human as far as how they contracted it? Or will we ever know how they contracted it?
So, yeah, good question. Now, the problem with getting that evidence in human, there are two or three things. One, obesity is a insidious onset. Obesity has insidious onset. So somebody finds themselves having obesity, that person is not going to remember 3 years ago when they first started gaining weight what infection they had. Okay. It's not that, unlike some infections, such as somebody, a kid, a 7-8 year old, it's normal kid, gets fever, goes to the hospital, comes out of hospital after 8 days and has diabetes. You know, then you start looking for, is there that infection led to that type 1 diabetes there is. Right. So that's a very acute case. So you can look at that cause and effect. Somebody who gets obesity, it's very hard to look at what happened 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago when you started becoming having obesity first. That's number one. Number two, there are multiple causes of obesity. You don't need a virus to develop obesity. You could develop obesity due to your genetic issues or some other conditions. So it becomes harder to tease out. Number three I want to mention is, so we have to depend on indirect evidence in case of obesity and virus, indirect evidence. We, in animals, in cells, we can demonstrate a cause and effect relationship. We take cells, take animals, infect them, we show more fat. Same virus is found in humans. Same virus is found more commonly in people with obesity. They have 2 to 3-fold more chances of having obesity if they have that exposure to virus. There are meta-analyses conducted. You know what is a meta-analysis? Is like somebody takes all the papers that were published about humans and 8036, and they put all those data together, and then they do that as one study, as if you have one study, everybody. So now there have been 3 different meta-analyses done in the field of 8036 and obesity by different researchers, not us, who have looked at all the papers that were published all over the world about 8036 and humans. They crunch all the numbers together. The latest one is 10,000 people of obesity and virus. And then they looked at, what's the risk of having obesity if you are exposed to this virus?
Right, that was my next question.
And it turns out to be 2 to 3-fold more. You're 2 to 3-fold more likely to have obesity if you are exposed to this virus. That's that meta-analysis. Two other experiments that we done that would be of interest is, one is that we have looked at, there are 2 types of studies. One is called cross-sectional study. That means you look at just that slice of time, today, in window, what do you see? Other are prospective studies, meaning you start a study now and observe people for 5 years or 10 years and so on. And we've done that 10-year study. So we had 1,500 individuals in one study whom we screened to find out who was exposed and who was not exposed to 8036 based on antibodies. So we had 2 groups to start with, right? At time zero. One is positive, one is negative. We followed them for 10 years. We find that 10 years later, those who were positive at baseline had significantly more fat gain over a 10-year period compared to those who were not exposed. Our last study, I should mention, that points to strongly to the effect of this virus in human obesity is a study done with twins. In a twin population, generally, 2 individuals in a twin pair have similar body weights. So not the same, but similar. You know, both, if one is 150 pounds, other would be 160. Or one is 300, there would be 290 or what have you. So keep taking advantage of that. We screened 180 twin pairs. Oh, sorry, 180 twins for exposure to adenovirus 36, 8036. And for the purpose of analysis, we removed if both twins were positive or both were negative. So if they're concordant for antibodies, we removed them. We focused only on one positive, one negative, discordant twin pairs. So our hypothesis was, if this virus has anything to do with their body weight, the positive one will be heavier twin compared to the counterpart that is negative. That's exactly what we found. So that's the closest one can come to showing the contribution of this virus to mm-hmm. human obesity short of infecting them.
Okay.
So, and one absolute last thing about that, to answer your short question in a very comprehensive manner, is it's similar to smoking mm-hmm. and lung cancer. Mm-hmm. We know the relationship between smoking and lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But there has not been a single study, to my knowledge, that has been conducted where people were asked, okay, you guys, you 400 people,
mm-hmm.
go, start smoking. And you guys don't smoke, and mm-hmm. see who gets cancer first.
Right.
You can't do that study ethically, right?
Right.
So but yet we believe in it. That mm-hmm. is because the weight of available indirect evidence is so much. We mm-hmm. have accumulated so much information about it that there is no doubt about it. So that is where we are going with this thing. Since we cannot ethically infect humans,
mm-hmm.
we simply have to depend on indirect evidence.
Okay.
And there is very, very promising evidence in that direction.
Good. I just want to be sure that I'm clear on something that you mentioned earlier. When a human contracts this virus, it's usually its onset symptoms are diarrhea, respiratory, and there was one more.
Pink eye.
Pink eye, that's right.
Three different categories of viruses.
Okay, so would it be extreme if someone out of nowhere just, you know, gets an infection, you know, a pink eye, an adult getting pink eye, which isn't very common, or, you know, a random respiratory, can you ask your doctor to check to see if you have AD36?
Yeah, so that's... so it's not... Yes, you can, but that's something that people will not do because that's not on anybody's radar.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's one.
Mm-hmm.
And if so, there are not commercially available. Well, not good commercially available kits
mm-hmm.
to do that. You know, there are labs around the world, research labs that would test it.
Mm-hmm.
So, first, it is not on your radar as a doctor, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Second, so if you find that, okay, that was AD36, mm-hmm. then what you're going to do is take preventive measures, make sure that your weight doesn't go up or something.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there is no other treatment
right.
that would be different for obesity because mm-hmm. you have AD36 currently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as much treatment angle that we want to be
mm-hmm.
Focusing on, but the prevention angle.
Right.
Yeah. That's why we want to prepare a vaccine so you won't get that infection
right.
in the first place.
Right. And it seems that good hygiene
mm-hmm.
and just kind of being aware of what you're doing is kind of pretty much the only preventative way.
Correct. And the other, yes,
mm-hmm.
and just like all common sense measures that you would take to prevent any infection,
mm-hmm.
there is actually just 2-3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, a paper came out in Lancet
mm-hmm.
Diabetes. In that, they said many infections,
mm-hmm.
infections in general, are linked with obesity. So they have gone even one step beyond,
wow.
and it's not any more specific infection. Because remember, there was a thought that it's the antibiotics,
mm-hmm.
that people get a lot of antibiotic and that's what is causing obesity.
Mm-hmm.
These researchers went on to tease that apart and said, it's not antibiotic. Well, of course you get antibiotics more
right.
because you get infection.
Right.
So it's the infection, not the antibiotic, that
mm-hmm.
is linked with obesity. So that paper just came out in a very high visibility journal,
mm-hmm.
Lancet, it's a British journal.
So to this point, it's antibiotic resistant? Would you say that?
No, antibiotics are used for bacteria. I mean,
okay,
not
so they're
for
used
viruses.
For kind of the symptoms.
But what they're saying is it's the infections. More infections you get,
okay.
more likely you're going to develop obesity. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
That's what that paper says. So coming back to common sense precautions,
right.
you prevent infections with common sense. It's not going to only help you protect from AD36. It may protect you from other infections.
Mm-hmm.
And it may in turn protect you from some types of obesity. That's the common sense. But another use of this line of research,
mm-hmm.
one is we want to eventually find cause-specific treatments for obesity. Mm-hmm. Unless we know different causes, what are the contributors? Mm-hmm. We won't have a cause-specific treatment. You don't know the cause, how will you treat it? Mm-hmm. So we, infections or viruses or certain viruses is one of the causes of obesity. Mm-hmm. But now we know, so we can go after prevention or what have you. Mm-hmm. But there will be multiple pathogens. There are 10 some microbes that have been discovered by other virus, other groups mm-hmm. that contribute to obesity. So imagine how many might be out there awaiting right. discovery that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. But that's one type of cause. Other thing that is helpful tremendously for people who have suffered all their life from obesity, mm-hmm. from themselves and from society, mm-hmm. that calls them lazy and greedy and moral failure and lack of willpower. And that is completely wrong, by the way, and that's mm-hmm. a topic for some other time, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But those who have suffered from that stigma, mm-hmm. I get emails many times that they write to me that I heard about your research, XYZ, I saw this film or what have you, or read mm-hmm. this article. I am just so feeling so relieved mm-hmm. that it may not be just me. It mm-hmm. may be something outside of me mm-hmm. that is responsible for my obesity. And then they say that, I don't even know if I have the virus, and mm-hmm. I don't care. Just the fact that somebody is showing that there is some reason that is outside of you that can mm-hmm. lead to obesity, that just makes them feel good, and then that's all they say. God bless you. That's all they say.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so that's a very important advantage, a case in point, a concept, proof of concept.
Mm-hmm. So moving forward, we're looking towards creating a vaccine. Are you currently practicing right now? Do you have an obesity clinic?
I am not. I'm not licensed to practice in the United States.
Okay.
I can provide information.
Sure.
And so we have several studies going on
mm-hmm.
About obesity mm-hmm. in various ways. How we can we have many funded studies actually. We have our clinical setup in Tech Plaza.
Okay.
And we are conducting studies there, and that's where we provide information, guidance for all the subjects and studies that we do for nutrition and weight loss studies.
Dr. Durander, thank you so much for your time. You've given us so much information.
My pleasure, and thanks for your interest in our work.
Yes, we'll be following it closely.
Ah, thank you.